What a good gospel for us to pray with in this Lenten season. You know, the humanity of everyone who follows Jesus is on display in the gospels, and especially today, the humanity of the apostles. And I say that meaning good things. I mean, it's good that they're human. It's really good for us, because otherwise there are these superhuman heroes of the faith, and what we see actually is their flaws and their frailty in this gospel. They're like us. Have you ever thought about that? That the people Jesus called are really no different than you or me. It's important that we think about that, because I know we all have a tendency to say, yeah, they're way different, they're way better, they're way further on the road. No, in this gospel, we see just how much they're like us, and we're like them. Because all of us, fallen humans that we are, we have this amazing, amazing ability to take literally everything and turn it toward us and our own self-interest. I was trying to think of an analogy that you might remember, maybe from your childhood. Do you remember Finding Nemo, the movie? Do you remember the seagulls? Mine, 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 mine. That's like us. Apart from grace, that's like us. Everything becomes about me, myself, and I. Jesus has to break us and his own apostles of that reality. You want to see how deep it goes? Jesus is straight up with them. They're going to Jerusalem. He takes the 12 disciples aside by themselves, like, come here, boys, we got something to talk about. And then he lays out perfectly what he's going to be about. We're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. That's the Paschal mystery, my friends. The passion, the death, and the resurrection. That's the thing. And what happens? Do they get it? No. They don't get it at all, because they haven't been broken of their own egotism, of making everything, including Jesus, about themselves, when it has to be just the opposite. Everything, including us, is about Jesus. Everything, including us. Your concerns, your worries, your fears, but also, dear brothers and sisters, all your gifts, all your talents, all your abilities, all your hopes, all your dreams, they're not at the end of the day about you. They're about him. And as you give yourself and all that's in your heart, your faults, your failings, but also all the great things about you, if you give it all to Jesus, then real freedom comes. You see how deep this goes? Jesus lays out the Paschal mystery, and then here comes John and James and their mom. See, it's not just the apostles who have this amazing ability to turn things toward personal self-interest. Here comes mom. And she's like, I want you to do something for me. Jesus is like, what do you want? Command that these two sons of mine, my boys, get on your right and your left. And Jesus is like, did you not just hear what I said? You have no idea what you're asking. Can you drink the chalice I'm going to drink? They have no idea, right? Now, you might say, oh, it's just James and John and their mom. No, the other 10 are indignant at those two. Why? Because they want the same thing. Who's going to be better? Who's going to be the best in the kingdom? And we all do the same thing. They're comparing themselves to one another. We compare ourselves to each other. If only I could look like that person, if only I could pray like that person, if only I had their life and their talents and their gifts, right? But that comparison is straight up from our own selfishness and egotism. And friends, it's the thing that kills our joy. It absolutely kills us to compare ourselves to other people. Yeah, you're different than everybody else. You have your own unique gifts and your own unique weaknesses, and so does that other person. And we're not in competition with each other, but rather, we're trying to help each other. We're part of the same family. And so Jesus has to pull everybody aside, sit them all down, and he sits us down too with this gospel. He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. Right? It's all about comparison and competition, being honored and acknowledged, and that's the way of the world, and it's still the way of the world today. Jesus says, it shall not be so among you. We don't play that game. That's not what I'm about. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. See, everything gets turned over. Instead of exalting ourselves, we're called to humble ourselves. Instead of claiming our rights, we offer ourselves. Instead of making life all about me, no, how can I serve? What can I do, Lord? And when we do that, we're actually following Jesus. We're following in the way that he established, because he says, just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's how Jesus lived. And that's the life that he invites us into. That's why he speaks so clearly about the cross. That's why he speaks so clearly about losing one's life. When we get that, then what we find is that the cross, difficult as it is, always leads to resurrection, real life. Not this game that we're playing where we try to carve out our own niche and make our lives about ourselves, but rather real life that knows no limit and knows no end. Resurrection life, the divine life, that type of life. When we lose our lives for Jesus, when we make everything a gift, we lay it all before him, then we find ourselves. And listen, this is the way that he has taught. He is so consistent. The second person of the Trinity humbles himself, empties himself. Kenosis is the word that Paul uses. He empties himself and becomes one of us. God himself offers himself on the cross in huge humility, profound humility, humiliation, not just humility, to serve us and to save us. And brothers and sisters, God himself humbles himself to give himself, his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity to you and to me tonight in this Eucharist. He's so consistent. And so we should be consistent. Let's lose our lives in order to find them. Let's give everything to Jesus and make it not about us, but all about him.